It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we are here as usual, except what isn't as usual is that it's actually chilly outside.
It feels great.
It is
just perfect. Out at a lacrosse game, and it was amazing out there.
Oh, man, I bet those kids running around up and down the field really appreciate it, too.
Yeah, seriously.
It's a good way to keep warm.
First time they haven't sweated through a shirt in a game in a long time.
Yeah, they've got a perfectly cloudless, glorious day, not much breeze, and a little bit of a chill. And the last super moon for another 10, 11 months, something like that. So I immediately got up this morning and didn't take the dog out the usual way and forgot to look. Thought about it about 30 minutes later and went out and the sun was already up. So I missed it, darn it. Every day, of course, I take her out at the same time, except today because she had a slight little schedule change. But I missed it. So I hope everybody else saw it. I did go through some pictures of it from around the world and it was spectacular. So anyway, I digress as I want to do these days. It was definitely an interesting week, and we'll get into that shortly. But first, I want to welcome everybody back. The regulars, you've been here year after year, and that's what keeps us going, and we appreciate it. And if you're new to the show, whether by accident or on purpose, try to listen for the whole hour. I would imagine you all learn something, whether or not you find it particularly useful. Hopefully, it'll be at least interesting. That's our goal here, entertain and teach at the same time. So we'll get into that. Everybody knows that in the days following the election, a lot's been happening. And now with the controversial picks for the cabinet positions and so on, there's no lack of excitement out there. What it does for the market is, I would have to say, a little unpredictable, wouldn't you?
I think it's largely irrelevant. I mean, oh, I think there's one thing that I would point to. I'll talk about it in a minute.
Okay. But well, the one thing we do know is that pre-election, we were telling everybody that there's going to be a lot of volatility associated with the election. I don't care what the outcome is or anything else. And boy, did we nail that one, huh?
Yeah, and I did say after last week, when you see a week like that, you almost know a week like this is coming because you can't get three times the standard deviation above the moving averages and expect that to just stay there.
No, not without a bunch of profit takers out there saying, this is too good to be true.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially this time of year.
Yeah, for sure. It was a pretty bad week, I think you could say.
There you go.
And the market was kind of treating like the election old news at this point. It really seemed to be trading on the Fed, interest rates, and inflation, which was kind of the story that was forgotten about last week, was that the Fed did a quarter point rate cut. But this week, it seemed to all come to the forefront, and every bit of news that came out really did seem to drive the market. Last week, it was just election, 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 and so kind of a backlash to that. It just not unexpected at all. I said it last week, and I wasn't surprised by the reaction this week. Almost all the gains that came from Wednesday to Friday last week, or even Wednesday to Monday of this week, were all erased this week. The NASDAQ led the way down, losing 3.1%. The S&P was down 1.9%, and the Dow down 1.3%. You know the markets are in a bad mood for the week when you're scanning across asset classes, sectors, international markets, commodities, and fixed income, and it's really hard to even find a single positive number. I did manage to find a few, though. The energy sector, utilities, financials, agricultural commodities, and Canada, and some dividend funds were the only areas that I could find with positive numbers. And even those were really, really small positive numbers. There was nothing that stood out as being a big winner this week. Small caps were down over 4%. The All World Index was down 2.7%. Commodities were down over 3%. And fixed income was down just under 1%. So just kind of a bloodbath. It was sell everything now type of week. The Q3 earnings season is about a week away from closing, and so far it's been pretty average. The healthcare sector has the highest beat rate at 71.4%. Technology has the second highest at 69.8%. Those are both on earnings. The technology has by far the highest beat rate on revenue at 79.3%. The lowest beat rate is on utilities, which are beating earnings just 43.1% of the time. The lowest revenue beat rate was in the materials sector with a beat rate of just 51.4. Healthcare also has the highest percentage of companies of any sector that are raising forward guidance at 17.9, which is really odd because it's the sector under the most selling pressure in the market right now. The healthcare sector was down 5.6% this week, and much of that was actually attributed to Trump's pick to run the Department of Health and Human Services, RFK. RFK is famously skeptical of big pharma and the amount and timing of vaccines which are given to children. So a lot of people call him anti-vax. He's really not. He's really just wants to examine the entire process of vaccinating children and ask the question, are we pumping them too full of chemicals too early? Which I think is a pretty valid question, honestly. I think some skepticism might be warranted. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of thought that's been given to that over the last 20 years.
You know, there's so many people who talk about the effects on multiple vaccines and the possibility of autism. And of course, every study says there's nothing to it. But it's amazing when you talk to some people, real honest-to-goodness people, who had their kids get vaccinated and then suddenly changed their behavior and went onto the scale. And it just leaves me wondering. And you know, wondering about medicine is not nearly as good as doing some actual studies with actual results.
Yeah, that's, I think,
not having it shoved in your face exactly. By some little pipsqueak named Fauci.
Well, that is the other point I was making. I think the entire skeptic nature of America right now is fully warranted by the way that we were treated during COVID, yep, with vaccines shoved and even forced on us, which is absolute BS.
COVID created JFK Jr.'s position right now. That's the way I see it.
Yeah.
Never would have been considered for anything without that having happened.
No, definitely not. I think a lot more people are open to his opinions than would have been 5 years ago.
Yep.
I think that really did have an effect on the healthcare side of things. They really haven't been very questioned in the last few years, and maybe that's time for it to change. So that was driving that trade, I believe. Other than that, I don't think any of Trump's nominees have really driven the market one way or another. It makes for great political talk show fodder, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't see anything directly correlated to anything except a natural degree of variation based on the market really moving forward quite a ways pretty fast.
Yeah, that's not a healthy that's a great, I mean, I understand the reaction, but it's just not the way things are that typically proceed in the market. I also want to note just that trust in government healthcare policy is at or near an all-time low. So yeah, so maybe it is time for a change.
Oh, it's time for a lot of changes, I think. And Lord knows we're going to get them.
So yeah, for sure.
This is what a lot of political observers would call popcorn season.
Yes,
do
definitely.
The popcorn, sit back, keep the remote close by in case you get real sick of it, and just have some fun. All right, we'll take a quick break, be right back, and lots more of this to come. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we do have a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul, it's kind of poetic, at 904-636-7888. An interesting thing happened this week. Not a good thing, but an interesting thing. The major indices were up sharply on Monday, and the overall NASDAQ was up a little bit, but we have talked about this before. The NASDAQ is not a really good way to focus in on what that sector or those sectors of the economy are doing because there's so many little stocks in it. A lot of them never survive. A lot of them don't make any money, and it drags the index down. So what most of us like to use is what we call the QQQ, which is an exchange-traded fund that holds the 100 largest of all the NASDAQ stocks. Now, the QQQ was invented, concocted, whatever, and introduced around 1985. And since then, that's been, I was figuring it out, in 1900 weeks or some big number like that. It once in a while, it has a bad streak, but generally it rises pretty steadily and pretty sharply. Anyway, this week, the QQQ was down all five trading days. That is such a rare event. They can count the number of times it happens. So my question is, how many times has that happened in the life of the QQQ? How many weeks, five-day trading weeks, has it been down every day? Just a whole number. And it's something under 2,000. Quite a ways under 2,000.
All right.
See, now you got all the hints you get and all you need, hopefully.
I wanted to talk a bit about economic data. It was a really busy week for reports, and at the top of the list was the CPI measure of inflation. Didn't really have the news we wanted. The core CPI ticked up a bit month over month, and on an annualized basis, it's been flattening out around 3.3% after dropping steadily since 2022. So the overall trend is decent, but the problem is over the last few months, it's really flattened out. It's not going down anymore, and we really want to see that around 2, and it's kind of stuck at 3.3. One really tricky measure of the CPI, the core CPI, is rent. It doesn't drop as quickly as other areas because of the long-term nature of year-plus leases. So if you actually strip rent out of the core CPI measure, it's running around 1.1% annualized, which is really close to where it was pre-COVID. So that rent factor is a big deal in the core CPI, and I don't know how the Fed is going to look at that going forward.
No, they can strip out food and energy because they're variable, but since rent is one of the biggest ones, it's very hard to deal with.
Yeah, it's a major portion of it.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Van Wees, financial world extraordinaires. Good old Phil from town of Orange Park here. I have to apologize. I like to answer the trivia question, but I only caught the end of it. If you'd be so kind, can you repeat it, please?
Since 1985, when the QQQ first started, how many weeks has it been down all 5 days like it was?
12. Last? I'm going to go 12 weeks. And I think I may be too high.
Actually, you're a little too low.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I tried. Guys, you got to do the community a favor. I know you're global through the internet and all this stuff because someone in Greece I know can tap into this show. I don't know how they do it. I think they work for our government, so I can imagine how they do it. But they don't call in, though. But don't change. You're the best of the best. And that guy to answer the phone, give him a raise. He's awesome. Okay?
Yeah, he's a keeper. Yeah,
thanks.
Don't let it go to his head, though.
No, we don't want to give him a big head. He wanted to get my gift card from the last show because I re-gifted it, you know, so I told Angela. And I said, you can't give it to Ed or Roger because then you have to double it and we'll be broke, you know, because they live high end. So, you know, it is what it is. That was a joke. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Thanks. Oh, man.
All right. Thanks
He's
for the
character.
Call. Absolutely.
Nothing better than local color on a radio show.
100%.
Love
I agree.
Anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't know how they're going to treat that rent piece because it's really been sticky, as have house prices to a large degree, although I am hearing more about prices coming down in spots around the country.
Is it for the right reasons?
It's hard to say.
Yeah. Some of it is a constricted supply problem and has been for a long time, but others are things like the cost of insurance and maintenance, and those are the wrong reasons to me.
But they're real.
When
the cost of everything goes up, so does the cost of maintenance. When you're paying people $30 an hour instead of $20 an hour to do repairs,
that's low level, unskilled.
Exactly.
Actually, I was listening to Angela on the way in here, and you may have been too. She got a call from a lady who was talking about insurance and things, and they were suggesting you always shop your homeowner's insurance. And I just have one little codicil for that. Start on December 1st. Do not shop it today. You'll be wasting your own time and you'll be wasting your agent's time, because all of the insurers in Florida don't want to talk to you about anything reasonable until hurricane season is over. So put on your calendar, December 1, shop my homeowner's insurance. And there you all learned something today.
You might be pleasantly surprised. I saved about $3,000 this year on homeowner's insurance. And I think you had an even bigger savings.
I did too, until they canceled me.
Right. But you found another one.
I'm going to. I've got backups already, but we're not going to finalize anything until December.
Okay.
Because you won't get your best pricing until December.
But yeah,
but that's the little.
There are a bunch secret. Of new companies offering insurance in Florida. So if you've if you've been with the same carrier for a long time and you feel like it's out of line with the market, shop it.
Yeah, and they. You never know. They might just meet the best offer too.
Yeah, you never know. So looking at the Fed, the market is now pricing in a 2/3 chance for another rate cut in December and a 1/3 chance of no cut. What do you think about that assessment? Does that seem about right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd go with it.
Yeah.
I might flip those or somewhere in between 50-50. I don't
rounding know. Errors one way or the other.
There's a whole lot of data that's going to come out between now and then.
The problem with the current Fed, with Jerome Powell at the head, is that he speaks English and tells the truth. Nobody in Wall Street can handle that. They're used to Fed speak, Greenspan, and...
Well, actually, that's why I put it maybe opposite with a 2/3 chance of no cut, because I thought he was pretty clear that they're seriously considering a no cut in his verbiage in the last meeting. Yeah, so
he was leaning into that pretty hard with his words.
Yep. Right? And then last, I had the NFIB Small Business Survey listed the biggest problems with facing small businesses today. This just came out this week. The number one was poor sales. Number two was inflation. Number three was government red tape. And number four was taxes. And so poor sales being the top one again, inflation has been for a long time. Poor sales, that's not a great sign.
No.
That's pretty bad. And I'm wondering, it's so hard to tell where the economy is right now. But that's definitely something that I'm concerned about.
Yeah, retail sales were up. They were estimated to be up 0.3. They came in up 0.4. Some of that is price related, though. That is not an adjusted number for inflation. And it doesn't mean that you're selling X plus whatever units. It just says your actual dollar sales are up. And I don't know. It's another one of those things that we've been talking about for a year and a half. What the heck is really going on out there?
I don't know. And this retail sales report definitely didn't help, because you saw so electronics and appliances had the biggest growth, and it has the third worst growth year over year. It's actually negative, but it was up 2.3% month over month. Why? I don't know.
Planned obsolescence catching up?
Maybe. Second, you had auto parts and dealers, and then bars and restaurants, and then building materials as the top four categories. And then the total retail sales were 0.4. Everything else was lower, with the things that were negative: clothing, sporting goods, health and personal care, furniture, and miscellaneous. That basically covers everything that you buy at a store.
Yeah, pretty much.
And so... I mean, retail sales were up, but were actual retail store sales up? That's what I question.
Well, Amazon's doing pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder. Once again, just a really confusing report.
Yeah. Confusing economy, confusing report.
For sure.
All right. I guess we got to it, because I wanted to just talk about the impact of the Fed, and we did that, so we're good. I don't know what to expect between now and the end of the year. Historically, we're entering the best time to be in the market.
Yeah, actually, after this week, yeah. We are now
starting Monday, the
best time of year to be in the market from a seasonal perspective.
Yep. After the 15th of November, statistically, it's kind of a no-brainer. That does not mean it will happen.
No.
If you're a gambling person, and everyone is, if you're in the market, let's face it, you know, I hate gambling and all that stuff, but the being in the market is always a risk, and that'll never change. If that ever changes, then you'll never make any money.
No.
It is the risk in the market that causes us all to be able to make some money in there.
Weeks like this are what make it attractive to buy more shares.
Exactly. Now, one might look at the difference between last week's show and this week's show, and you already touched on this. We were so overbought a week ago, and now we're not.
Nope.
So I would say, if anything, the timing of going into this best 6 weeks of the year could possibly be absolutely perfect. So if you're thinking about it, just kind of watch how the market takes off Monday and Tuesday, and if you want to start filtering some money back in it because you've been chased out by the volatility or whatever, might be a good time to look.
Yeah, could be.
Not individual advice, just something to think about for everybody. All right, we are going to take another break and then come back. And I want to talk a little bit about some new numbers that came out regarding taxes. I want to talk a little bit about Social Security and just all kinds of other things that are happening. The end of the year is when a lot of things change, and that's when we can look at it and tell you whether it's good, bad, or indifference in the eyes of a consumer. So it affects you. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I remind everybody, lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question is still there. That is, how many times in the years that the QQQ index has been available, was it down 5 days in a row for a whole week? And we know that 12 is too low. All right. Anything else we want to say about the market? I can't think of anything. Just kind of, you know, as I said, we're cautiously optimistic about the time of the year and see how it actually plays out.
Yeah. The other thing is years that go up 20% and up to this point of the year typically end a little higher, and we're there. So
yep, we're there.
Yeah, that is possible.
History is on our side. And, of course, everybody who does this kind of thing is supposed to say past performance is
correct,
not indicative of future results. And you say that because it's true.
It is true, because anything can happen. October is supposed to be down.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
No. Imagine that. Although it sure tried a couple times.
Yep, but it failed.
Yep. Also, the market. I would say whatever the usual and customary statistics are, you got to really put the overview of having a presidential election cycle in there. I don't know how important it is, but you got to consider it anyway. All right. You know that one of the things that we've always tried to do on this show is bring you up-to-date information. And this time of year is when things are lining up for next year. You know, all the tax rates and the COLAs and the this and the that and the other thing. And we know that the Social Security cost of living increase is 2.5%. Now, I've been complaining for as long as I can remember. Everybody's probably sick of hearing it, but I would like to think there's a cost of living increase for the year and they would apply it. But no, of course they don't. So tax rates or tax brackets, you know what we mean by tax brackets, width or size. In other words, how much money can you make and stay in a tax bracket till you bump up to the next one? Those brackets are expanding by about 2.8%. That means that we're a little better off than the 2.5% for Social Security would indicate. That's a good thing. So this week, they released the Medicare numbers. And lo and behold, Medicare is going up 5.9%. Now, that is a lot different than 2.5.
Wait a second. 5. That doesn't match. How does that happen? Why does that happen?
That happens because Medicare has its own problem, meaning its funding, and they react to it differently. It has nothing to do with the cost of living. It has only to do with how they're going to keep it solvent.
Well, wouldn't that be the same problem as Social Security?
If you've told the truth, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that.
Yeah.
And, of course, your Medicare payments come out of your Social Security check if you are collecting benefits from Social Security. So if you look at your check, it'll go up on paper, and then it'll go down on paper, and you might just get the same amount of money or less, except there's a law that says you can't get less.
Right.
So they can accrue that for you and maybe apply it again next year. But if you think you're going to get a 2.5% raise in your take-home pay, so to speak, think again. It's not going to happen.
It's not unlike what's been happening in the real world over the last 5 years,
no,
where you've probably gotten a few raises at work, only to find that your grocery bill is 40% more expensive, and you only got a 3% raise at work. So are you getting ahead? No.
No.
You're actually going backwards. Yep.
I applied that to my own numbers, and I left out any IRMA calculations. That's the additional sum of us have to pay for Medicare. And what it amounts to for me, I get 3.1% supposedly, and I have to pick up the rest, and Sarah has a smaller benefit, and she nets out at 2.1%. And that's just the way it is, because numbers are different. When you take an amount of money, like the basic cost of Medicare, what everybody pays for Part B, that is a bigger number percentage-wise for someone who earns less money, whose benefit is smaller, than it is for someone who earns more money, and therefore it gets out of whack that way. So not only are you less well off, but it also becomes regressive.
Mm-hmm.
And by regressive, we mean things like gas taxes. They hurt the public, the part of the public that they're trying to help. Will it ever get fixed? I don't know. I'd bet on it, though.
I mean,
and I wouldn't bet on the side of fixing it.
If you ask me, if you wanted to sum up the current administration, that would be their tagline. They hurt the part of the public that they're that they say they're trying to help.
Yeah. All right. How about a couple of fun facts before we dig any deeper? Everybody by now has heard about Elon who am I trying to say? The Doge boys.
Vivek,
yeah. They're starting this little project, not really as government employees. They're just kind of forming a little consulting group, and they are hiring some people, but they're going to suggest ways for the government to become more efficient and save money. So they came up with the term DOGE, Department of Government Efficiency, and it's typical Elon because of the sense of humor, because Elon has long promoted one of the cryptos called Doge, D-O-G-E. That has caused a stir among investors, and Doge has been skyrocketing in price.
You bought a bunch of it, right?
Oh, yeah, I got tons of it, yeah. It actually looks kind of like the place I was born, Dogeville, but it's not the same. Anyway, the statistic part that I was getting to, they've got it now where Doge has a higher market value capital than Ford Motor Company, and it's a crypto.
That's insane.
I can put a Ford in my garage, but I can't put a Doge in my hand.
Or I can own Ford stock and have ownership in multiple manufacturing plants.
And a dividend,
yeah.
Crypto, not so much. Man, I've heard some people come down on crypto just recently, and Bitcoin is absolutely out of control.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to touch it. I can't.
I won't give advice to anybody about crypto, but I'll lay down the law. It will have nothing to do with us if you have crypto. Start a different account. We don't want to know about it. I mean, you can tell us all you want, but we don't want any control or access.
I'm not including it in your financial plan.
Absolutely not. And if you make a boatload of money,
great.
Congratulations.
Great.
Ain't that America?
Yeah, exactly.
But no one to get out.
I don't get it. I feel like it's destined to burn a lot of people. I don't know.
You know what's strange about Bitcoin at 90,000?
That Bitcoin's
somebody's
at
90,000.
That too. Yeah. Well, you can buy fractions, so it's not.
But somebody's paying that price.
That's insane.
Who are you people? My God. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. Getting old.
Yeah, I feel like an old person when I talk about it, but it's I can't wrap my mind around it, and therefore I can't put my money behind it.
Yep. Well, how about this one? You can pay $25 for a latte if you want to.
Where is this?
Just a regular old latte, Starbucks or whatever. You can order a delivery through the Starbucks application. And here goes. You buy the latte.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a $1.99 delivery charge.
Okay.
A $2 small order fee if you spent under $10. A 15% service charge. And sometimes a $4.99 additional charge for wages. And then when it's delivered, don't forget to tip. Out of pocket, about $25.
Okay. And the sad thing is, you know it's happening.
Of course it is.
You just know it is.
And some people probably be proud of it. Hey, look what I did. All righty then. Here's another one. I'm kind of having fun today, and it's getting up toward Christmas and all that. The FDA recalled 80,000 pounds of butter from Costco.
I heard about this. Yeah, this was so stupid.
Because it did not say on the package that it contains milk. Okay, and now you are entitled to take it back and have Costco swap it out for you for new butter, which is made of milk.
As all butter is, last time I, isn't it?
Yeah, butter's made from.
I thought it was.
That you can make a similar thing from other kinds
but
of milk.
But it's not actually milk, butter.
Butter is milk.
Yeah.
So you take it back, you give it to Costco, cost them money. I'm not a shareholder, but I bet I am. I bet any number of my index shares probably have Costco in them. But we're going to cost them a bunch of money because their packaging didn't say that their butter was made of milk. And now you understand why there's going to be a Department of Government Efficiency.
This is just, it's out of control. And you just hear about these things over and over. And we're $36 trillion in debt.
Yeah, and you think RFK Jr. is going to get a couple copies of that little rundown in his email box on the first day?
For sure.
Hey, what are we going to do about this? My God, it gets so out of hand, the stupidity. And my first thing when I heard about this, talking to Mom, and I said, you know what I would like to see not happen again is shrimp on a treadmill. It wasn't 24 hours later on TV they were using that example of the shrimp on the treadmill.
I don't know that one.
That was a study that we financed. I'm not really sure to what end, but you can bet it wasn't cheap. All right, more serious things right after another short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And trivia question is still out there. How many times since 1985 has the QQQ, that's the NASDAQ 100 largest index, been down all 5 days in a single week? And we know that it's more than 12. All right. You know what Real ID is? You're probably familiar with it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Real ID is a government mandate, basically. And it says that if you want to get on an airplane starting May 7th, 2025, and don't have Real ID, you're going to have some kind of trouble that could go so far as to say you're not flying. On your driver's license, and everybody should look at this, in the upper right corner, what would you call that symbol?
It's like a circle with a star in it.
Okay, circle with a star in it. If you do not have one of those, I would strongly suggest that you get together all of the licensing requirements, which you can get at the state of Florida or your county office, and you make an appointment and haul that over there and have them issue you a new driver's license that has a Real ID on it. I am familiar with the process because I did this. Mine was expiring after May 7th, 2025, and I first read about it through Clark Howard or somebody like that. So I went in, printed out all the directions, and you need this, 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 and this, and made an appointment, went over there. 10 minutes later, I walked out with a Real ID and a long extension on my driver's license.
Yeah, which is a nice bonus,
it's a
too.
Real plus.
Yeah, and if you fly at all, this is really important.
Yeah, you do not want to get there on May 8th.
Not and be allowed on the plane.
No.
Yeah.
Or even if you go somewhere else, out of the town or out of the country, whatever, you really might have some trouble. So just know that it's called Real ID if you want to look it up, and check your driver's license upper right corner for the mark on it.
I started seeing signs about this in airports probably over a year ago.
I'm not surprised. Like, they did have a good lead time.
Yeah, every time you get in a line, there's usually a sign. You may not notice it, but it they have been there.
It was several months ago when I got mine, so I know it's been around for a while. But it was definitely an eye-opener, I guess, when you see what they're going to do. A point of information here, two things that are related. The U.S. debt jumped $473 billion in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Now, if you multiply that out, there's not that much money in the world, is there? $473 billion debt increase in 3 weeks.
I don't know. Where did that come from?
The debt or the...
Why did it jump so much?
Because the government is hastily spending money ahead of Trump.
Well, that's, I think most administrations probably do that.
They're looking at
Did they put in some more electric charging stations maybe? Or?
No, not that kind.
Okay.
But they're looking for money that has already been authorized but has not yet been spent, and they're sending it all over to Ukraine. So we just passed 36. Did you see that on the debt clock?
I'm looking at it right now, and it says as of November 15th, national debt is $35.97 trillion. Okay. So
I saw one depiction of it on TV the last
It's a rounding error at this point, though.
Yeah, it's 36 trillion. They could add another half a trillion to that real easy the way this is going.
Awesome.
And maybe more by January 20th. So keep your eyes open. Not that there's a bunch you can do about it until the next election comes around. But at that point, give it some thought. This has got to stop. As the economists say, anything that's unsustainable will stop, and that's unsustainable. Don't know when it'll end. All right, what are the chances we're going to get the tax code fixed now that we have the trifecta coming?
Well, when you say fixed, I actually kind of like it right now. I don't think it needs to be fixed.
That was my punchline, sort of. Okay. But, you know, I'd take some tweaks, too. But here's the priorities.
Yeah, well, there's always going to be things you love.
Yeah. Here's some priorities. Probably the biggest one is the tax rates that came down with the TCJA in 2017. Mm-hmm. Those tax rates, which everybody still refers to as tax cuts, even though they've been the law for 9 years, I call them the tax rates.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I know it's just words, but I would like to see them permanent. What most of the experts are saying is that it will not be made permanent, because it's going to have to be done through the reconciliation process.
Most likely.
And you can't get into policy at that point. You can only get into allocating money and budgeting. So in all likelihood, we'll get another 10 years out of those.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the line, hopefully somebody will get a big tax plan through.
Which is actually 11 years, because we have next year guaranteed already. Yeah. So that's good.
But the uncertainty is basically gone. I know it won't actually be gone until the bill is signed.
Sure.
But it's essentially gone because it's going to be done by reconciliation. All right, what about the SALT deduction, state and local taxes? That was limited in that same law to $10,000 per taxpayer. And a taxpayer is anybody filing a return, whether it's one person or two people. And that meant that it was never even doubled for married people filing jointly. That is a bone of contention for a lot of people. The minimum they want to do is add that $10,000 for the second person. If you have been listening to us for a long time, you know that I've been advocating that almost since it happened.
Yeah, we're very anti-marriage penalty.
Absolutely. So. And then, of course, there's that old thing about not indexing certain things for inflation. That $10,000 has been the law now for 9 years.
Yeah.
And it's still the same $10,000.
If I'm not mistaken, we have seen some inflation in that time.
In 4 years, we've seen 20%.
Yeah.
And we had 6 under Trump before that. So by my count, we're up around 26%, and that has not changed a bit.
Right.
Why do they write these statutory things? I don't know. But this one will likely be changed, but it will likely not be changed the way a lot of people want to see it. I don't know. I think there's a fairly good likelihood of getting the $20,000 in it. Some people want $80,000. Some want to throw it away. I know a couple people who would love to see it get thrown away so they could itemize again. But I don't think that's going to happen this time around.
Well, the argument – so you can. It really depends on your perspective here. You can argue pros and cons about this all day. But ultimately – I go against raising it too much because there's no reason that I should be subsidizing people who live in high tax states by them paying less taxes and me paying more.
Yeah, the whole concept was sold to us by saying exactly that these people in New York, New Jersey, California, Illinois will vote differently because of this. They did not vote differently, but a lot of them moved. So they did vote.
Yeah,
with their feet. They voted with their feet.
Yeah, definitely. It just doesn't make sense. Why? I mean, I don't understand the concept of why that would be fair to people who live in Florida.
No, but fairness certainly would be having 10,000 per person.
Agreed.
And it would certainly include indexing.
And I don't mind that one bit. If you make that 12,500, I'm good with that, and double it for a married couple, fine.
Another problem we're going to have is there's another debt limit fight coming up before the inauguration.
Great.
Yeah, everybody knows what a pleasant process that is. Finger pointing, name calling, on and on. And of course, they're not allowed to use dynamic budgeting. So Trump can stand up there all day long and tell them that his tax cuts raise revenue, and we can prove it on paper.
Yeah,
Steve Moore and others have proven it absolutely.
Well, you just look at the numbers. It's clear.
And then they say, yep, then it stopped coming in. Well, yeah, it did. When the economy shut down, it did stop coming in.
For sure.
But for 3 years, it was dynamite.
Yeah.
So that's going to have to get in there, and that's going to be a bone of contention, as it always is. When they get that ceiling lifted, sometimes they'll lift it for a while, then start talking about it. I don't know what's going to happen. Nothing really good is going to come of it, because it's not going to result in what it's supposed to result in, and that is spending cuts. That's where Elon comes in. And then there's another one going on with the estate tax. And for those of you who don't know what Harris was proposing on the estate tax,
it was up to
90%.
It was robbery is what she was proposing.
Yeah, they were going to take your life away if you'd been successful.
For sure.
If you're only moderately successful, meaning you were worth under $100 million, they were only going to take 60% more after paying taxes all that time.
Only. Yeah.
Some people want to eliminate it. I caution that, and I'll tell you why in a moment. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful day today.
Loving every minute of it.
You bet. Hey, I want to take a stab at the trivia question.
Sure.
If you don't mind repeating it one more time.
How many times since 1985 has the QQQ index lost value all 5 days in a single week? As it did last week.
So that's where I'm having a problem. I don't think the QQQs were around in 1985.
They were incepted in 1985, according to what I read. Incepted, made up, started being followed. That's what I read in some quick research this morning.
And okay, well, I could be wrong, but I could not locate the answer on Google, so I went to ChatGPT, and they started to talk about, you mean before the queues were ever, before it ever started. Yeah. So I don't know. I couldn't get the answer.
Oh. Yeah, well, that's our point. We don't want you to be able to Google it. We have our sources, you know. You want to take a shot?
Oh, so prior to 1999, it was actually
It was QQQQ.
Yes, there were four Qs.
It was bought out by PowerShares, and they changed the symbol to QQQ.
Yeah.
So I was right.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, in its current form, that is correct.
Yeah, it's the NASDAQ 100.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. Have a good weekend.
Oh, did you want to get a number out?
I'm sorry, say again?
Did you want to take a shot at the actual number?
I'll take a stab at the number. How about, let's say, 8 times?
It's over 12. I'll give you 5 seconds for one more guess.
18.
Still a little low. For everybody out there, it's happened 26 times, including last week. And that's all in all those weeks and weeks and weeks.
And the performance afterwards, better than average. Yep. So.
All right, got to run. Thanks for the call. All right, everybody. Have a beautiful weekend out there.